I think something that Clarence Thomas is doing right now is the kind of thing people complain about when they talk about activist judges. He's shopping for a case to come before him because there's something he just wants to do.
Okay, so how do you do that if you sit on the Supreme Court?
Well, there's something that's been a custom. It's not part of the Constitution, but since the very early days of the Supreme Court, there's a thing called the Rule of Four. And if four justices say, we want to hear this case, they hear the case. And I think that Justice Thomas is signaling right now for a case that he wants to hear because he wants to make some new law. Now, this is not something that's not been done before. In recent years, we saw Justice O'Connor and Justice Kagan, Justice Ginsburg. Before it was legal, they were performing same-sex marriage ceremonies. They were officiating. That's a pretty strong signal from the Supreme Court justices saying, bring us a case, we'll make a decision about this. So it can happen. And right now, Clarence Thomas is saying, you know, I think maybe we should overturn that 1964 case of the New York Times versus Sullivan.
What is it about this particular case that Thomas wants to overturn?
Well, ostensibly, he's talking about original intent of the Constitution, original intent. And, of course, I like the original intent, but I don't think he's seeing it quite right. What New York Times v. Sullivan is about is defamation. It's about it's libel. It's when you say something that is defamatory about another person and when you have a suit against them because of that. Now, for most people, there's five things you have to prove when you go to court. That you were identified, it was published, the remark was defamatory, you were injured, and the defendant was at fault. And that's really in civil court where the burden of proof is preponderance of evidence, meaning more likely than not, it's not that hard to win a libel suit. So where this became law in 64 is that a public official did that. A public official brought suit against the New York Times for publishing something that was defamatory. So here's the crux of it. That public official was able to do in civil court what would have been unconstitutional in criminal court because sedition laws are what the First Amendment was designed to protect us against.
Why does Clarence Thomas specifically have an issue with this?
I don't know. He's trying to gut several 1960s-era decisions. Things like appointing lawyers for people who can't afford them is something he's also wanting to overturn. He's wanting to revisit some of those decisions. And I don't know why. I do know that the present administration, the Trump administration, has been saying we need to change the libel laws in our country because it's very, very difficult for a public official to prove because here's what happened in that case. Beyond those five things I just said that you have to prove, if you are a public official, you have to prove one more, and it's called actual malice. It's come to be known as New York Times malice because it was made famous in that case. And actual malice is very, very hard to prove. It's a reckless disregard for the truth. It's that malicious intent that you're going to harm someone by what you said that is defamatory against them. It's very hard to win those suits, and that's why a lot of public officials, they never even bother bringing a suit of you defamed me because it's very hard to win.
Is this a common issue that most conservative judges would have, or is he kind of out on his own here?
I think this conservative judge is out to left field. I'm really surprised to see this coming out of nowhere, but it's kind of parroting the sentiment of the Trump administration because he's complaining, saying we need to do something about libel laws in this country. And he's been calling for that for a couple of years. And if you did that, well, the National Enquirer would be out of business, that's for sure. It would be hard for SNL to do much of what they do, that's for sure. The right to dissent is what's important. So this 1964 decision said, okay, we're not going to allow public officials to do in civil lawsuits what they are constrained from doing in criminal lawsuits because sedition meaning which are laws that say you're not allowed to criticize the government or its officials, have long held to be unconstitutional. It's one of the reasons that we have the First Amendment. That is what was happening in colonial America, that you couldn't say something about the king or the governor or whatever or be thrown in jail. That's why the First Amendment. And so if Justice Thomas wants to think about original intent, that was actually, I think, the original intent of the First Amendment.
I can think of a couple of countries now to where you couldn't parody an elected official. North Korea, Russia.
Man, it's hard to be a journalist in Nicaragua right now. They're leaving the country in droves because they're scared for their safety.
So if this case were to be overturned, would that not bring the United States one step closer to that reality?
Yes, it would. Now, I think that that New York Times Hugh Sullivan was a I don't like the idea of judge-made law or, say, bring us a case. But in that event, I think it really was a good one. What was happening in the facts of that case, it was the civil rights movement. And there was a piece that was critical of a sheriff in Alabama. And he said, I was defamed. You did these five things. You identified me and you published it and it was defamatory and I was injured and you're at fault. And he won and won and won in all of the lower courts until it gets to the Supreme Court. And they say, well, wait a minute, time out. This is different. You are not just anybody. You are an elected official. And we don't have laws that say it's against the law, that it's a criminal offense to criticize government officials. So you're trying to accomplish in civil court what you can't do in criminal court. We're not going to allow it. And they added that sixth thing to prove for public officials, which is actual malice. Then through the remainder of the 60s, the progeny of that case added other criteria that we have this idea of public person. So it's beyond the public official, and now it's basically celebrities. People who are public persons have to prove this very difficult to prove thing called actual malice.
This seems like the kind of case that if it were to be overturned, the general public that hadn't been paying attention would suddenly say, wait a minute, so this is a pretty big deal, right? Is there a way that the common citizen can keep up with pending cases or cases like this one that could have huge overreaching effects on the country?
I think that the news media is going to be all over this. If this is something that goes up, first, we'll have to go up through one of the circuit court systems, then go to the U.S. to the D.C. Court of Appeals, and then they apply for certiorari to go to the Supreme Court. So we're looking at something that could take a couple of years before it gets there, but it's something that American media will pay attention to because it changes the way that they would do business. Could you imagine a world where a newspaper has to stop and think, should we say this about the president or the Speaker of the House or whoever, because we might get sued if it's defamatory? And so that would have a very chilling effect on speech. So journalism has a vested interest in making sure that this decision stands. They will follow it.
Well, is there anything else that listeners need to know about this fascinating case we've been discussing today?
I think it's one of those cases that people knew about, talked about, understood back in the 60s and 70s, and now it's just part of our history that we almost take for granted. We almost take it for granted until someone like Clarence Thomas says, maybe we should reverse this. And if you're not familiar with what the case means, and he's also saying, let's do original intent, which sounds good to a lot of people, including me. But when you really examine it, you're thinking, this would really change the way things work in this country. It wouldn't just be newspapers. It would be anyone who wants to blog or comment, and we know that the online world has a lot of really extreme things being said politically, but we are allowed to say them. What if suddenly we were afraid of saying them? Not because we'll be locked up, because we're about to be sued for saying them. The real result of that is it may not be that the government officials worried about recovering monetarily damages that you may have done to their reputation. The point of suing you is to shut you up.